to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Today we're going to hear a live report from a protest at USF. It's against Donald Trump's suspension of immigration from seven Muslim countries. Later on in the show, we'll also hear about a hearing going on right now in Bradenton. Mosaic Phosphate is asking for permission to expand its mining in eastern Manatee County. We'll take your calls about phosphate mining and about Trump's Muslim ban. I'd especially like to hear from first-time callers. Here's the number, 813-239-9663. You can email your question or comment to dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885. Well, I'd like to begin with what people are calling Trump's ban on Muslims. It's a ban on people coming into the country for several months from seven different countries that have Muslim majorities. And there's been rallies across the country and across the Tampa Bay area. Right now, a rally is beginning at this hour at the University of South Florida in Tampa at the MLK Plaza. Joining us on the phone from the scene is Samantha May. And Samantha is with Students Against Sweatshops. Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint, Samantha.
Hi, thanks for having me, Sean.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. You're on the campus there of USF in Tampa at the MLK Plaza, which is just south of the Marshall Student Center, and your rally is just now starting. I think it goes until 3. Why don't you tell our radio listeners how many people are there so far and what do you see?
Yeah, so far, people have been like trickling in since about 11:30. I'd say there's at least 100 people, probably closer to 150 right now. There's chants going on, including no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA. And we actually just ended with a speaker who immigrated here when he was a child.
So you have someone there who's actually there. You have got speeches going on of immigrants, and they're concerned about what's happening with these orders from President Trump. But what about just people who aren't immigrants? Why are you there, for example?
Yeah. So I was born in America, and both my parents were as well. I'm here because I believe that the human rights of my, classmates and my community members are being impacted by this ban. It's just unjust and unright, and it goes against human rights with, the freedom to travel across borders. And a big part of what my organization believes in, the United Students Against Sweatshops, is the idea of collective liberation. The idea that nobody is free until everybody is free. And all our struggles are interconnected.
There have been other protests this weekend in the Tampa Bay area. Have you been to those? What were those like?
Yeah, I was able to go to the one in Ybor last night, which was an awesome experience. I'd say there was at least 500 people, and that was probably the biggest protest I've been to in Ybor so far in my life as an organizer. And it was just great to see the community come together and unite against the bigotry that the Trump administration is spouting.
Samantha May, those are my only questions. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our audience and maybe remind people where you are and how they can get there if they want to join you?
Yeah, so we're at the University of South Florida, MLK Plaza, which is right behind the Marshall Student there. There's still people joining us, our numbers keep increasing. So I think it would be hard to miss us if you come out behind the MSC. And I just want to make sure that everyone knows that the Tampa community and the nation as a whole needs to come together and unite against this presidency and make sure that all our brothers and sisters and siblings that are Muslim or Mexican or undocumented are protected for the next 4 years.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Samantha May. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Samantha May is with Students Against Sweatshops, and she's live on the scene of a demonstration at USF Tampa against what some are calling a Muslim ban by President Trump. And we've got some people on the line. Let's go to the phone lines and see what people have to say. Let's go to Barry in Plant City. Hi, Barry.
Hey, got a question for you. I'm not on top of all the statistics and whatnot like you guys are. But in this immigration ban, what percentage are these so-called previous terrorists who've been caught or killed or whatnot come from the countries in which the ban is taking place?
I think if I'm understanding your question correctly, of the recent terrorist attacks inside the United States, none of them were refugees that I can think of. We had the San Bernardino shooter, who was a naturalized U.S. citizen, if I'm not mistaken. Also, the person who shot at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, also not a refugee. So from what I can tell, if I'm understanding your question correctly, zero, as far as I can tell, in the United States at least.
Okay, and what about internationally abound?
Again, so, I'm trying to understand your question. I think that
okay,
some of the
for instance, we had these terrorist acts in France. Now, where were these terrorists from? Are they from countries in which the United States are trying to ban?
Some of the terrorist attacks, for example, in France, were by people who had Syrian passports. So, and Syria is definitely one of the countries where there's not only a 120-day limitation, there's an indefinite limitation on Syrian refugees seeking asylum in the United States under Trump's plan.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. It's just funny to me that, you know, with so few terrorists out there, how many more millions of people that this is taking effect on. So, but thank you for answering my question.
All right, Barry, I hope I did it justice, and I'll look for links to more information to get you more specific information and put it on our website if I can do that. But thanks for calling in, Barry.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to WMNF's Midpoint. I'm Sean Canan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. It's 12:13 in the afternoon. We're talking about what some people are calling Donald Trump's ban on Muslim immigration or refugees coming in from certain Muslim countries. He says it's not a ban, although he did use that word on Twitter today. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885. You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. It's 12:13 in the afternoon. And let's hear some sound from last night's Ybor City rally, where people were supporting refugees and opposing Donald Trump's ban. Well, that was one of several protests at airports and other locations around the country since Donald Trump signed what people are called a partial Muslim ban on Friday. Hundreds of people marched along 7th Avenue in Ybor City yesterday evening in this video that was posted to Facebook. Were you one of them? We'd like to hear your experiences. In this video, you can hear them chanting, "Immigrants are welcome here," and "Refugees are welcome here." In addition, on Saturday, there were demonstrations in the West Shore District of Tampa and at the Tampa International Airport. And as we mentioned earlier, and we heard a guest from a rally that's beginning this hour at the University of South Florida in Tampa at the MLK Plaza. So that's one of the topics we're going to talk about. We can also talk about the phosphate situation in Mosaic, in Mosaic hoping to be able to mine more in Manatee County. We'll get to that in just a minute. Let's go now to Anthony in Tampa. Hi, Anthony.
Yeah, how you doing?
Very good. What would you like to say?
This whole immigration thing, I'm kind of an old school kind of guy, and to be honest with you, it just makes me laugh at a lot of these people protesting. There's nothing they're going to do about it. It's not going to change the fact that Trump's in office. All you're doing is pushing people more towards Trump. I voted for him happily because I got tired of seeing, you know, a lot of these kids out there crying about how the road, how they know so much about the world now. So I'm frankly glad to see this is President Trump doing his job.
You're breaking up a bit, Anthony, but it sounds like what you said is that these protests are going to draw more people toward Trump and that they're not having an effect. Yet when I was watching cable news over the weekend or reading the newspaper, I was seeing that people were being detained coming in from other countries. And then because of these protests drawing attention to the issue and because of lawyers going down there and filing for habeas corpus for these people, a lot of them were released and freed, and people were, it was actually making a difference.
Well, I guess, you know, yeah, at some point you can say that it's going to be almost like a tit for tat. You know, everybody's going to fight, they're freed, but it doesn't mean they're going to stay freed. You know, really at the end of the day, you know, he's the president, he's going to make the call. You know, these lawyers and everything else, like, I get it. You know, I mean, everybody's human being, but this is America. I mean, Americans voted in Trump. Nothing's going to change. He's going to do that, and that's what I hope and expect him to keep doing.
So your position is this is America. Whatever the president decides, that's the way it goes?
Well, I mean, not everything. I mean, you know, I don't expect them to, you know, kill people, but, you know, in order to solve a problem, we have to first kind of pick it apart to see what the best options that are for America. You know, just like everybody does, I believe them. I think that, you know, you get people in power, any president, Obama, Clinton, they all do the same thing. You know, and there's tons of comparisons that you hear from everybody. When you bring up Trump, well, he didn't do this, this one did that. You know, almost all presidents did this. They put on bans. You know, Carter did it. You know, Reagan, a lot of people did it. So all of a sudden, now because it's Trump, he's the monster. You know, so maybe these kids should do their homework instead of standing outside, or maybe they should go to work like I do. I don't expect anything from my government. I own 3 businesses. And it's the people that, you know, I'm the one that supports the community, but my business is going to work for me. So, you know, instead of standing out there protesting, maybe they should get to work.
So you can't work and protest two different times?
No, you want to support the country. I get it. You can protest. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's just like, to me, when I look at TV, all it is a bunch of followers. Now I'm just going to follow what they're doing. You know, lawyers want to do their job, let them do their job. But, you know, it's the president's call. And he's not going to be banned from office. We voted him in. I'm one of them who voted him in. And it's going to continue to stay that way. You know, people can disagree with it, but that's just the way it is.
Well, I'm glad you called, Anthony. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
And we're going to move on. Let's go to Brenda in Plant City. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in.
I think everyone, all these young protesters, I think they need to take a breath, calm down. Everything's going to be okay. I really feel like they're not giving Trump time. I mean, I think he's done more in this short length of time than I can even remember back, and I'm quite old. But I think he's got a good heart. I think he's trying to do what he thinks is right for America. They need to calm down. I was a guy before. They need to go to work. Quit protesting. Let this run its course. Let's see how he does. Give the man a chance.
You're the second person in a row who said that these people should stop protesting and they should go to work. I don't get it. I mean, I know a lot of people who are at work right now and then they were protesting over the weekend.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. They need to take a breath, calm down. It's going to be okay. You know, give the guy a chance.
So don't criticize the president if he makes these rules.
Right. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's doing what he's saying. He's not, you know, in his brain thinking, okay, I'm going to do this so I can make everybody mad at me. That's not what he's doing. He's trying to protect, and people need to calm down.
People need to take a chill pill, like Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida and Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, who say in a joint statement that the manner in which these measures were crafted and implemented have greatly contributed to the confusion, anxiety, and uncertainty of the last few days.
Right.
So Republican Senator Marco Rubio just needs to take a chill pill.
Yes, they all do. Everybody needs to calm down and just be cool. Okay? I think most of you, if you look at all these people, except for that march on the Women's March, which I would never be part of, I think that everybody just needs to calm down. You know, Hillary always used to say, let's bring our country together. But all these protests, all they're doing is pulling our country apart. Where's Hillary? You know, that was her big thing. Let's come together. Nobody's trying to do that.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to say something that is going to contrast what you said. And it sounds like what's being pulled apart is these orders, because the Republican Party is being pulled apart by Donald Trump's orders. When Marco Rubio and Tim Scott say in a joint statement that the manner in which these measures were crafted and implemented have greatly contributed to the confusion, anxiety, and uncertainty of the last few days, those are people that I don't normally think of as protesting on the streets of Ybor City with a bunch of leftists. You're talking about very right-wing Republican Senator Marco Rubio saying Donald Trump went a little bit too far here.
Well, you know, I mean, that's your opinion. And my opinion is that, you know, everybody needs to calm down. Just take a breath, calm down, let's see where it goes. You don't put this in, you know, and like write it in concrete, say this is the way it is forever. This is a short, you know, ban, if you want to call it, that he has put out. So, you know, just, innocent. I'm not going to say that's all. I mean, I think everybody should calm down, do what Hillary says, let's come together. We're tearing our nation apart.
All right, Brenda, thanks so much for calling in, and I appreciate you letting me ask you a few questions there. Let's go now to Jackie and Dunedin. And before you begin, Jackie, I want to say that we are talking right now about the what some people are calling the Muslim ban by Donald Trump from those seven countries. And later on, we are going to talk about phosphate mining in Manatee County. So please, if you're interested in that, please stay tuned. And so Jackie in Dunedin, do you agree with our last two callers that the left-right coalition here that's opposed to Donald Trump's Muslim ban just needs to take a chill pill?
No. I'm not a first-time caller. I apologize, but I feel compelled. The first caller pretty much said that Donald Trump could do anything as long as he doesn't start killing people. That's what I heard. And the second caller, I mean, nothing gets resolved when you just calm down and you're submissive to the point where they're just going to railroad you. So that's why we have activists and human rights activists and whatnot to be out there protesting. But I had a question for you. I don't know if you can do research because... it would be a difficult number for me to come up with. But what is the gentleman's name, the new speaker, the press secretary, what is his name?
Sean Spicer?
Yes. I heard him on the TV saying that the protesters were a small group of people who did not amount to much, and most of the American voters agree with this order that Donald Trump has said over the weekend. And I was just wondering if there's a way that anybody could come up with a number of people who have been protesting over the last 2 or 3 days, whatever it's been, because I just don't believe him. It just seems like there was so many protesters out that it's gotten to a level of, no, we don't agree with Donald Trump. And I bet even some people who have voted for him, you know, are having regrets now. And that's all I wanted to say, Sean. Thank you.
All right, Jackie, thanks so much for calling. And yeah, let's crowdsource that. If you're out there and you know of a number, maybe a poll has come out today from polling over the weekend where people are asked about the orders that came out on Friday from Donald Trump. I have not seen that, but if you want to send us a link to that, that would be great. Maybe there hasn't been one that's come out. But, you know, to Jackie's last point about maybe there were some Trump voters who were participating in the protests. Well, I don't think that Marco Rubio participated in the protests, but I really found it telling when I found out in the last hour or so that he is saying that he's a little bit concerned about these orders, these executive orders by Donald Trump. So, I mean, if you're to the right of Marco Rubio, let's say, I hate to use labels like that, but if Marco Rubio is saying that you went a little bit too far on this, then I don't know, maybe Donald Trump is dividing the Republicans in addition to just dividing not just people who voted for Donald Trump, who didn't vote for Donald Trump, rather. Let me read part of this email. It's very long, so I hope I get the gist correctly. Jason is replying to Brenda. He says, give Trump time, time to do what? Roll back labor and environmental regulations, dismantle the public school system by diverting tax dollars to religious private schools, walk away from decades-old treaties in favor of forging new alliances with right-wing ultranationalists across Europe, and so on. And he goes on to say, no thanks, I'd rather see him opposed. At every turn, America will recover far more quickly from Trump's failure than his success, says Jason in cyberspace. So thank you for that email. We'll take a few more calls before we move on to the phosphate issue, because a lot of people want to talk about this this travel ban. And I should say that next hour, in executive session, Craig will also be talking about this topic. So save some of your angst maybe for that. I hate to say that, but yeah, if you don't get on this show, maybe I should say it this way, there will be an opportunity for you to talk next hour as well. Let's hear from Zebulon in Tampa. Hi, Zebulon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, that last email you got was right on point. Everyone said give him a chance. Well, we gave him a chance to disclose his tax returns. He never did it. He said he would do it, but he lied. We gave him a chance to put his holdings into a blind trust so he wouldn't violate the emoluments clause. He never did that either. Then, when he issues the travel ban, interestingly enough, the seven countries that he put on the list, we've had no terrorist attacks in America from any of those seven countries, but we have had quite a few who came from Saudi Arabia on 9/11. Saudi Arabia didn't make the list, neither did Kuwait. Trump has huge business interests in both of those countries. So, again, this looks like a violation of the Emolument Clause to me. Now, what I'm going to say may, you know, tick off some people who really, you know, want to see Trump succeed, but I got to go with Jason on this. His success would be more disastrous for this country in the long run than his utter failure and impeachment based on the evidence that I just presented. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Zebulon, thanks for calling. The number to call is 813-239-9663. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. Text us at 813-433-0885. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, Sarasota, St. Petersburg. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. And we got a quick email here from Clone Cone. And that he says, these callers defending Trump need to get off the phone and go to work. So he's kind of riffing on one of the things that they're saying. Also, this email from the 787 area code says, speaking of railroad, the locomotives are on the way, are one way the terrorist attack are going to escalate with what Trump is doing. I don't understand what that means. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, 787. I read it almost word for word of what you wrote. So let's go to Angelica in Lakeland. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Angela.
Oh, Angela, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Sean. And thank you for all the wonderful work you do for us. I was about to say something similar to what the last caller just said about the fact that Mr. Trump very conveniently neglected to include several other Muslim-populated countries simply because of the fact that he had business interests there. And this is not being made of enough of a point on the news. I saw it expressed on one program yesterday, but not on any of the other Sunday news programs. And that's something else that a little bit more attention should be paid to. On the other hand, though, here's another simple little fact, or what is probably going to become a fact. ISIS, was having the resources, the voluminous resources that they have, is anybody actually seriously considering that they're not going to just go ahead and simply forge passports from Egypt now? Instead of coming out of Somalia, they'll come from Egypt. I mean, this is a, you know, 2 + 2 does still equal 4, no matter what Mr. Trump wants to say. And I refuse to call him president. He's Mr. Trump as far as I'm concerned. The emoluments issue is again, he did this big fancy show of signing this executive order in order to please the his ravenous mass, his crowd. On the other hand, he only did it in such a way that it would profit him. And that's why this man is Mr. Trump and will never be President Trump. I'm very much counting the days that we can start to begin impeachment proceedings because it's very sad. And just one tiny further comment regarding the couple of callers that said we should calm down. I think the reason that we're all in this mess is because we've been a little bit too calm, too passive, too non-engaged. That we're in this mess right now. Nobody paid attention. Nobody gave him enough credit. No one took him seriously. And look what's happening.
All right, Angela. All right, Angela, thank you so much for that call. We're going to go back to the phones in just a second. I want to tell you that this is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. We're talking right now about the temporary ban on immigration from seven of the Muslim countries, Muslim-majority countries in the world that Donald Trump enacted on Friday. Patricia in Brandon, you're on the air. What would you like to say?
Yes, I think that Trump, this ban is unconstitutional. I think we're in a constitutional crisis. What is happening is a constitutional crisis, and it may only be, I'm not sure, but it may only be the start of Trump's assault on the rights of minorities here in America. And it's kind of, you know, for me, it's kind of strange to agree with Senator McCain, but, you know, it shows how extreme and authoritarian the Trump's administration is when it comes to this Muslim ban. You know, I agree with McCain that it will probably be used as a recruiting tool for ISIL or ISIS in some areas of the Middle East. And they will say, well, you see, America is against Muslims, and therefore we're going to, you know, they're just going to do a lot more against America. Who knows what they're going to do because of this propaganda? I mean, they're going to use it as a propaganda tool for, you know, and that's what I'm afraid of.
Patricia,
they're going to do.
One of the things you said earlier made it sound like you were disagreeing with one of our earlier callers who seemed to imply, and he kind of backtracked away from it a little bit at the end there, but he seemed to imply that, look, the president is the president and he can kind of make whatever rules he wants, and the courts just don't necessarily play a role in it. Now, I'm going a little bit further than he went, I think, but and he kind of backed from it a little bit later on, but you're saying that we might have a constitutional crisis if the courts are saying one thing and the executive, the president, is saying another thing.
Yeah, it may go to the courts, you know, and because he's in violation of the Equal Protection Clause. So I think that it is a crisis, what we're facing right now. And and it will be used, I am 100% sure, as a recruiting tool for ISIL against the United States. So we're going to have more, you know, problems with ISIS. I mean, really, that's what I think.
All right, thanks, Patricia. I hope you're wrong about that. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope there's no additional terrorist attacks because of this or additional people signing up for terrorists, but I guess we'll keep an eye out on that. But thanks for that call, Patricia. Also, I forgot to mention when Angela was on the phone, I saw a list of the countries where the bans were and then the countries where there wasn't a ban that Donald Trump had business dealings in. And I believe it was in one of the morning papers of either this morning or yesterday morning. I apologize if I don't have that, I can't recall which of the two. So if you want to check that out there, maybe check out tampabay.com or something, and they have the list there. I've seen it online a couple of other places as well. 813-239-9663. Larry in Odessa. Hi, Larry.
Hi, how you doing, Sean?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in.
Look, I just want to say that our country does a much better job of assimilating immigrants than the many European countries. And I have to say that what Donald Trump is doing is he's trying to avoid these radical extremists like what's going on in France and Spain. And I don't agree with a lot of what he does. Last night I was watching ABC News, World News, and they were showing what these Muslims, what they go through and how they're vetted. And they go through some extreme vetting. They really do.
So already before this Muslim ban, there was extreme vetting, and you're using a term specifically that Donald Trump said needed to happen.
Right. And they're going through that now. They have been. So I don't quite understand Trump's reasoning. Maybe he wants maybe he needs to research this what they're doing now and do better vetting. I don't know. It's definitely a subject. But you know, I want to bring something else up too. In 2011, Obama blocked all Iraqi immigrants. So where were the protesters then? You know,
excellent question. And I have to say, I don't recall that, but I, you know, taking your word for it, that's true. Where, if that's the case, where were the protesters then?
I just have a feeling I'm sorry the Democrats couldn't put a better person running for president because they probably would have beat Trump. But I have a feeling if this was a Democrat as our president today and did something like this, we wouldn't have these protests. I think there's just a hateful, hateful spirit out there, a Donald Trump. There's just a resentment of him so bad, and sometimes I don't understand it. It's just the name. Just you bring up that name, and people just despise it.
Do you want to say who you voted for?
Well, I didn't vote for Hillary. And I probably would have voted for a Democrat if they could, if the Democrats could put a better person.
Did you vote for Trump?
Nominee.
Larry, did you vote for Donald Trump, if you want to say?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right, and how do you feel he's been doing so far?
Well, you know, people are saying that what he's doing is unconstitutional and with all these executive orders, but look what Obama did. More executive orders than any other president we've ever had. And you didn't have this, you know? But I'm gonna repeat what several people have said in your earlier calls, that I think people need to settle down. This country does need to come together. Give this guy a chance. He's only been in office for, what, less than 2 weeks? And if he doesn't do a good job, he'll be out of here in 4 years. That's for sure. That's a given.
Larry, thanks so much for calling. I appreciate that. So do you agree with Larry that and some of the other callers that the protesters need to just settle down? All right, 813-239-9663. Bradley in Safety Harbor, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
You're loud and clear.
Okay. I kind of agree. We need to calm down and get organized. A bunch of yelling and screaming isn't going to do anything, but a more focused and organized and structured opposition, taking that to the administration is what's going to help us a lot. We can't have I don't want to use the word rabble rousing, but let's get organized on this opposition, because he does need to go. I think he will go. I also think that it's the Republican strategy that they wanted him to be elected so they could get their own people into place in the department heads and cabinet positions and everything else. And on their timeline, when they're tired of his act, they're going to introduce whatever evidence they have against him for impeachment proceedings. That would put Pence into office with the potential for 2 more 4-year elections. So that's what I think the Republicans' long-term thing is. I don't think he even wanted to be president. I think he just wanted to win. It was a game show contest to him, as far as he's concerned. He'll get tired of all of this soon enough, and he will go. As far as these people calling in and saying that we need to get a job, the people who are against Mr. Trump, I have a job. I work full-time, and I take my time, my free time, and devote it to opposition. And I'm sure a lot of these other people out there are the same way. We work one or two jobs or even three jobs, and we still find time to raise our voices against tyranny and injustice. And so it's these useless sound bites that we hear over and over again. One of them was that President Obama was he had little experience. He was only a one-term senator before he was elected president, and so he didn't do a good job because of his lack of experience. Well, the man in office now never won an office before. So if you want to talk about a lack of experience, well, we have a new standard. I appreciate that you're taking the time to let people call in and voice our opinions on this matter, and I enjoy listening to your show.
Well, Bradley, I enjoy that you listen to it, so thanks for calling in, and I appreciate all of your comments, and we'll go back to the phones in just a second. I want to read a little bit from this Washington Post article that Rob Lori in our newsroom has sent me. The title of this Washington Post fact-check article is Trump's facile claim that his refugee policy is similar to Obama's in 2011, and that gets 3 Pinocchios, which I'm pretty sure is the most number of Pinocchios for the worst lie. So Trump said, my policy is similar to what President Obama did in 2011 when he banned visas for refugees from Iraq for 6 months. They get to the point later on, and it says 3 Pinocchios. There never was a point when Iraqi resettlement was stopped or banned under Obama, and we're updating this ruling to 3 Pinocchios. Iraqi refugee processing was slowed in response to a specific threat, but it was not halted. The Trump White House, meanwhile, has failed to provide any evidence for its statement that this is similar to what Obama did in 2011. was it 11? So that's the WashingtonPost.com. You can search for Trump's facile claim that his refugee policy is similar to Obama's in 2011. Thanks, Rob, for sending that. And let's see, executive orders. The last guest, this is Gary, says the last guest said Obama wrote the most executive orders. Incorrect. Clinton, then Bush, then Obama, in order of the most executive orders. And I knew that, and I apologize for not catching that on the fly. So thanks for following up with that. Also, Ron says, to all the folks who are saying the protesters should stop protesting and go to work, do they know history? This country was started by a protest like the Boston Tea Party, Andy in Venice. So thanks, Andy, for that reminder of the Boston Tea Party. And Dump Trump writes, give him a chance. Yeah, like they gave President Obama a chance. Yeah, that's a big fat no, says Skull322 out there in cyberspace. And there was someone who wrote, Herbert wrote something really long, and I can't get to all of it. One of the things that he says is that Rubio and McCain are grandstanding for the middle and just don't get it, likely not to have read the order themselves. And a lot of what Herbert says, here's another one of his other 5 points, and he says, read the order. This order could only be interpreted as a Muslim ban through a left-wing George Soros-funded filter. So speaking as someone who is not a left-wing George Soros-funded person, that I read the order, and I can see it, how people interpret this as a Muslim ban, because the five countries that it applies to, all of those, or the seven rather, all of them are majority Muslim countries. So that's, I think, why it's really easy to interpret it that way. Well, let's try one more call on this topic before we move over to phosphate mining. Let's see, DeAndre in Riverview. Hi, DeAndre.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, hey, how you doing, man?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the folks who are going up against thoughts of protesting with their idea of patience and et cetera, that's long gone. The Republican Party and industries have helped for this monster to get into office, and they basically cheated their way through at every step, whether it was with primaries, whether it's with the voter ID laws, whether it's with the strikes as far as for mass or for the incarcerated or the felons who are reformed, on and on. They just stripped away little by little at every state from the opposition to their election to where they won. So there's no time for anyone to settle down other than to write their senators and et cetera to push against Trump. I just want to say that. And even the protests in the streets are totally warranted. But yes, given history, and like with the Boston Tea Party and other movements. So I just want to say that. I just hope that they will stop being in such the denial that this is, in fact, our president. He is not.
All right. Thanks, DeAndre. Thank you for that call. Let's switch gears a little bit. I should say right now, we've been talking about what some people are calling the ban on Muslims entering the U.S. for the next 120 days from these seven countries. And Trump says he'll reevaluate this after that time and see what the best course of action is. Of course, for Syria, that's an indefinite ban on immigration for refugees. And we've been talking about that. We heard from a live protest at USF that's going on right now until 3 o'clock. And we'll continue to talk about this. In fact, next hour, Craig will talk about this on executive session. So please, if you want to talk about this topic, stay tuned and you can have your say next hour. I want to switch gears a little bit right to what's going on right now in Manatee County. The Manatee County Commission, they're actually on lunch break right this second, but they'll be back very shortly. And they'll continue a meeting that started actually last Thursday, but there were so many people from the public that wanted to speak. Most of them at the time that I've seen from these hearings, they've been opposing this expansion of mining in eastern Manatee County. The giant fertilizer company Mosaic is asking Manatee to rezone a 3,500-acre parcel of land to allow an expansion of phosphate mining. The land is near the border of Hardy County. Right now, it's zoned for agriculture. And actually, I'm going to take an aside, and there was a really interesting article in yesterday's Tampa Bay Times about how important agriculture and grazing land is to Florida's economy and Florida's ecosystems. So this land is zoned for agriculture. During an all-day meeting last Thursday, Mosaic asked the county to change that zoning to mining and extraction. And that meeting is continuing today. It will continue shortly. On Thursday, two residents spoke in favor of the expanded mining, and more than a dozen people asked commissioners to reject Mosaic's mining request. One of the people that spoke out against the mining was Stetson University College of Law professor Paul Boudreau. He addressed the issue of whether the county has the legal right to deny Mosaic's request. And after his statement, you can hear him being questioned by County Commission Chair Betsy Binnack with a follow-up question. So here is Stetson Professor Paul Boudreau.
I'm a professor of law at Stetson University College of Law, and I have taught, written on, and practiced land use law for more than 15 years. I'm speaking for myself. I wish to comment on the specific issue whether the applicant has property rights at risk in today's decisions. In particular, I'll comment on Florida's Burt J. Harris Act. This act offers a potential remedy when a government imposes a new regulation on a landowner that upsets a landowner's reliance expectations because of a previous conflicting governmental decision. This is not what is happening here, where the applicant is seeking a change in the zoning. The Harris Act briefly offers a remedy to a landowner when a specific action of government has inordinately burdened an existing used or a vested right. The Act defines inordinate burden by referring to upsetting investment-backed expectations. This is the key to the statute. The test of upsetting expectations refers to a situation in which the government gives the landowner some sort of approval, such as a building permit or an operating permit or approves of a subdivision plat. The landowner then, on reliance upon this approval, makes investments on this reliance, and then the government decides to reverse course, says, no, we're changing our mind, we're giving you something different, and upsets this reliance expectation. Now, this requirement of the Harris Act is essentially the same as the old existing federal law of the Fifth Amendment takings and Florida's common law that stops government from upsetting reliance expectations that the government has previously created. Here, I suggest the applicant does not have reliance expectations. The applicant is seeking a change in the zoning. The applicant has the burden of proof here. This morning, the applicant said, quote, this is a big ask. And so it is. The applicant has the burden of showing the overriding public benefit and the adverse and the no adverse public effects standards. Now here, we've also heard today the applicant has owned the land since 2004, but chose not to seek a rezoning at that time. Instead, they've chosen to seek rezoning in this piecemeal fashion. And so the issues of overriding public benefit, no adverse public effects, etc. These are all issues of the public interest, the environment, and other matters that will go into the Honorable Commission's judgments and decisions. There are no reliance expectations to be upset. There have been a number of cases brought in Florida over the past decade or so in which a landowner has argued for a Harris Act remedy because of things such as a hope in a change of the land use law, or the fact that the landowner received informal approval from the government about a requested land use change, or that the landowner had a short-term right to do something under land use law. The Florida courts have consistently refused a remedy in such circumstances because in these cases, like the matter here, the landowner doesn't have any upset reliance expectations to do what it wants or what it hopes to do at some point in the future. So I encourage the commissioners to decide under the code standards what is best for our citizens and state, knowing the risks and uncertainties inherent here, to think about the long-term needs for clean air, for uncontaminated soil, for clean water, for wildlife habitat, for the protection of nearby residents, and for what is best for today and for future generations in Manatee County and all of Florida. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you.
Mr. County Attorney, you had said
that if we had a question of a
witness,
someone that presented, do we ask them a question now?
I would prefer you do that in case they aren't here when that, you know,
this gentleman represented himself as an expert in land use matters, and I wanted to ask him a question. Is that appropriate?
That's fine. You're welcome to do that. I'm sure since he's a law professor, he'll be happy to answer it.
Always happy to answer.
Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of them.
Right.
So.
My question is, if there is an application for a zoning change that complies with the comprehensive plan and is therefore denied by this board based on issues other than the comprehensive plan, do they have... do they have a reason to make a Burt Harris claim?
Well, I think the question, as you just said, matters not in the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan talking about standards such as overriding public benefit certainly involve a lot of judgment and decision. I wouldn't use the word discretion, but I'll use judgment on the commissioner's part, okay, deciding what meets those standards.
And I believe that was what was presented to us by staff, mm-hmm, that where we have that judgment decision based on where they're asking for exceptions, variances, or special approval, I agree with you. But I wanted to clarify, because you said a lot of things, and I know being an urban planner, I just wanted to make sure it was clear, and having taken land use law, it didn't seem to jive with what I was told by my professors, so I wanted to make sure I understood what you were saying. But I think you've clarified it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Manatee County Commission Chair Betsy Banach asking a follow-up question of Paul Boudreau, who's a Stetson University College of Law professor, and this was at the Mosaic request of Manatee County to expand their mining operations in eastern Manatee County. This meeting is still going on today. It's going to start up again probably shortly after 1 o'clock, after lunch recess. And I want to hear from you what you think about this mining, if you've heard our stories in the past, or if you aren't sure, or if you support it, or if you oppose it, please give us a call. Here's the number, 813-239-9663. Do you live near the mines in Polk County or Pasco County or Hillsborough County? I said Pasco. I didn't intend to say that. I meant to say Manatee County, Hardee County. 813-239-9663. You can email your question or comment to dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885. I want to read some emails that came in. This Will is saying, please educate your listeners on the Naturalization Immigration Act of 1952 and have them read in full the executive order so they'll stop appearing so ignorant on these phone lines. And again, this is on the what's being called the Muslim ban by Trump. Why is it okay for previous administrations to do almost exactly the same thing but not Trump? And this person goes on to say, secondly, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Kuwait are not in refugee or asylum status right now. They're not exporting immigrants that need refugee or political asylum. Please educate your listeners, says Will. And there are certainly violence going on in Egypt, and there are political prisoners in Egypt. I know that, and certainly in Saudi Arabia, you can make those same claims. Now, I don't know whether their people are actually getting asylum in the United States from those countries. So, if you'd like to talk about Trump's executive orders, or if you'd like to talk about phosphate mining in Central Florida, give us a call, 813-239-9663. We'll go now to David, who's been holding. Where are you from, David?
I'm from Lakeland. Good afternoon.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'd just like to start by saying I didn't vote for Hillary or for Donald, and so I'm not really neutral, but I'm sure that neither candidate was very good. As far as the ban by Trump, I think it's a good idea. Does anyone know that's listening when jihad started, what year it started? Did it start with the Crusades? Did it start with 9/11?
I think you're asking a rhetorical question to which you would probably get a million different answers, right? I mean, that's the purpose.
The answer is 622. Year one of the Muslim calendar.
And before that, there was no political violence, no religious violence.
We're not talking about political violence. We're talking about jihad.
Well, jihad, you're specifically using an Arabic word to describe something that's not uniquely Arabic.
No, it isn't uniquely Arabic. It's uniquely Muslim.
That's actually kind of ridiculous because people like, you know, you wouldn't you say the Crusades specifically were similar to what we would call a jihad today, where you had religious zealots going in and attacking people because of their religions?
So when were the Crusades?
No, I get what you're saying, that that this preceded the Crusades, but I think that to call something jihad and to say it's only something that was kind of invented by by Islam is, I mean, it just doesn't even make sense.
Well, let me ask another question. How many major battles were fought between the Muslims and the Christians in North Africa, the Mideast, and Europe before the First Crusade?
I can't think of any. I don't think there were
548.
Okay. I mean,
they go all the way into Spain in the first 100 years. They were in India in the first 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, imperialism happens all the time. There's no question at all that the spread of Islam across North Africa and Europe.
It hasn't stopped.
I think
that's the point. It hasn't stopped.
Really? You're talking about a land expansion?
In 1,400 years, it hasn't stopped.
When
did Muhammad have his first sex place?
All right. Hey, David, thanks for this really stimulating conversation. I mean, imperialism hasn't stopped. That's true. But to say that, like, the driver of imperialism is Islam, I mean, that's just kind of ridiculous if you look at the last half century or whatever, and the last century, where, quite frankly, most of the countries are majority Christian that have contributed to imperialism. But thanks for that enlightening discussion, David. I appreciate that. Hopefully we can steer back to Mosaic. Frank in Bradenton, what would you like to say about mining in Manatee County?
Meetings on Thursday and again today. Unfortunately, I'm one of the people that wanted to speak there, and I'm not going to get a chance because I have too many appointments this afternoon. But one thing I was going to do is I was going to ask the commissioners how many of them received funding from Mosaic for their seat on the city commission. And if they did receive money, they really should recuse themselves from voting on the two requests that are being put forth. The gist of most of the people that were there, and I'm a resident, was that if you put it before the referendum before the people of Manatee County, whether to approve this expansion or not, it would undoubtedly be defeated. And that's why they don't want to do that. It would be interesting to have someone from your organization call them and ask them how many of the commissioners actually took money or gifts from Mosaic people.
All right, thanks. I appreciate that advice, Frank. I certainly will look into that. And I should also say, I want to ask you before I let you go, you mentioned that you were at the meetings and a little bit of your call was cut off. I'm sorry about that. But why do you oppose the mining in Manatee, if you can answer that quickly?
Well, in talking with some of the residents that surround there, the big question is, what happened to all the water that dropped into the sinkhole at one of their holding ponds? If they expand, they now are saying that they are going to put the affluent in holding tanks and ship it all to Polk County just dump it up in Polk County because they don't want to have to fight the battle of saying that they're a green company, and that is a big farce.
Hey, Frank, I'm going to cut you off because we're out of time, but that's true. They did say the other day that they're going to take the phosphate waste, I guess, and store it in the gyp stacks in Polk County, including, they mentioned this one by name, the new Wales facility. And yes, that is where that giant sinkhole is. Thanks to everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. If you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, if you didn't get on today and you want to leave a voicemail, call me at 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your message next show. You can join us online at WMNF.org/news or Facebook or Twitter at WMNF News. Thanks to James Rossi and Jeff Haynes, and get better soon, Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canan, the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned for Craig Kopp in executive session. And that's after NPR headlines on WMF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Bradenton.